We're learning the Ein Yaakov, and we're holding the Gemara in Brachos, Dafei. We had begun studying a subject which is very, very difficult philosophically, and we're going to see in our Gemara one of the answers the rabbis gave us is to how to deal with this difficulty, Brachot Dafei. And as is usually the case, when we learn the words of our sages, there's much depth and much discussion as to how to understand what they said. So the sugya that we're studying tonight is the concept of Yisurin. And the simple translation of Yisurin is afflictions, difficult things happening to a person. And the Gemara we had seen began by discussing when a person sees that afflictions are coming upon him, yifashpesh b'masav, he should analyze his actions, as we derive from the verse in Lamentations, when bad things are happening to a person, he has to stop and say, wait a second, am I living up to my responsibility in life? Am I doing my end of the deal that I expect from God a better life than I'm receiving? And if one has searched through his actions and hasn't found something that he can attribute to be a cause for the affliction he's having, so he should assume it's because he has wasted his time. When he had time that he could have learned Torah, he has wasted that time. And we discussed different understandings in the word Yisurin, what means afflictions. The Gemara says you bang your finger as you're banging a nail. That's one level of Yisurin. You put your hand into your pocket to take out change, and you get the wrong change. So even that, the Gemara says, in heavens they said, you should have to sigh and say, okay, that wasn't what I was looking for. And then our higher levels of affliction, as we're going to study next week's Gemara about Rav Yochanan, who lost all 10 children of his, and about people who, God forbid, do not merit to have children at all, or people who have to bury their children. There are all kinds of levels in Yisurin. And we had discussed that the Gemara says, elsewhere the Gemara says in Shabbos, en mita belochet, the death doesn't happen to a person unless he has transgressed, even mistakenly. Ven yisurin belavon, and yisurin do not come to a person unless he has sinned willfully. And today's Gemara is going to focus on the concept of yisurin shel ahava, that sometimes we say a person suffers affliction in this world, and it cannot be attributed to any actions on his part. And so we say, those are afflictions that come out of love. Now this sugiya is very troubling at first glance, and I beg you, if you're going to hear the troubling part of it, stick around to hear the resolution. When I first learned this Gemara, I stormed out of Beis Medrash. I was learning with my Chavrusa, and I learned it, and I read it, and I read it again, and I read it a third time, and I read Rashi, and I read the Marsha, and after looking around as best as I could, and I learned this when I was very young, this goes back to my high school years, so I was learning it alone, and I learned through it, and I couldn't understand it, and I tried again, and I tried again, and when I couldn't understand what the Gemara was talking about, my Chavrusa said, let's go on, and I said, I can't go on, and I closed the Gemara, and I walked out. So you guys are older than I was. There's no one here who's as young as I was when I first learned this Gemara, so you have no excuse. And I'm telling you that we will hopefully get the resolution before the night's end. So if you're here to be bothered by this Gemara, stick around and hopefully we'll reach a resolution. And if you don't reach a resolution, whenever we start a philosophical discussion, I assume you remember the introduction I gave when we first started studying philosophy, and that was that there are a few rules before we study philosophy. Firstly, we have to know that a question isn't an answer. A question is just a question. Sometimes in our youth, when we're bothered with a question, we think that a question not only disproves one thing, but proves something else. And we have to know that a question is just that, a question. It doesn't disprove, and it doesn't prove. With time, we might find an answer. Youth, when a person is a teenager, so he feels like I have to have an answer now. And if you can't give me an answer now, then it must be you don't have validity to what you're saying. As a person matures, he's supposed to gain patience and question and search and seek and recognize that we're limited in the amount of information we can access at any given moment, both because we have limited access and because we have a limited understanding. A teenager can understand with a teenager's understanding, and as a person matures, he can have more understanding. And just because we don't understand something where we are today, so that might be because we don't have enough information, and that might be because we, where we are today, are incapable of understanding beyond what we're understanding. But that does not necessarily prove or disprove anything. And the second point that's important to remember is that this is one class with one person. We're learning the works of the Ein Yaakov, and I, with my limited capabilities, am trying to explain what I understood from preparing the Ein Yaakov. If you walk out of this class, in this class or any other class, and you still have a question, that's legitimate. Go ask someone else. There are other rabbis, there are other books. Just because you end this class and you're dissatisfied doesn't mean that you're dissatisfied with anything beyond my class. You're allowed to be dissatisfied with my class, so go to someone else's class. Go ask someone else. I represent what I know, but I don't represent not the religion nor the philosophy. I'm one person with my understanding, and I'm going to try to explain it as best as I understand. I hope you'll be happy with it. But if you're not, so there are other people. Go ask. And with that introduction, I dare begin this difficult Gemara. The Gemara continues and says, let's say a person has gone through his actions and gone through his time, and he says, I spend every free minute learning, and I've done my best, and I can't see any time that I willfully got up and sinned, and nonetheless he is being afflicted. So then he can attribute these afflictions to God's love of him. And we're going to learn this Gemara firstly on its most simple level. We're going to learn it with Rashi and with the chapter in Yeshayah, because there's a concept which we often attribute to Christianity, and we are unaware that this concept has its roots in verses in Isaiah and Yeshayah. And the first understanding, as bothersome as it's going to be to us, should be Rashi's understanding. And that understanding says that when God loves a person, God will sometimes give him afflictions in this world, though he has done no wrong. And through these afflictions, he will merit more in the world to come. As the verse states in Mishlei and Proverbs, Ki et asher yehav Hashem yochiach, for God rebukes those that he loves. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Schora, Amar Rav Huna. Rava quoted Rav Schora in the name of Rav Huna. Kol she'akadosh baruch hu chafetz bo, anyone that God likes, medakeo beyisurin. If God wants a person and likes a person, then God depresses a person with affliction. Shene'emar, as the verse states in Isaiah 53, Yeshayah Perek Nun Gimel, Ba'ashem chafetz dake'o echeli. Because God has chosen, he has pained him, he has made him ill. Yachol, one might think that God does this to a righteous person, afilu lo kiblan ma'ava, even if he has not accepted these afflictions with love. Tilmod lomar, so then learn further in the verses and you'll know to say, im tasim hasham nafsho, God says, this is conditioned on your accepting them willfully. Ma hasham nedat af yisurin nedat, just like when a person brings an asham sacrifice, he brings it out of knowledge. So too, God only gives affliction when a person is cognizant of the fact that he is getting them of no ill doing on his behalf, and he says, I accept. Ve'im kiblam me'ava mascharon, if he accepts them with love, what's his merit? Yirei zera yarich yamim. He will see offsprings, he will live a long life. Ve'lo od, and not only that, she'talmudo mitkayem biyado. The learning that he learns becomes something constant, something that remains in his hand, as the verse states, ve'chefetz Hashem biyado yitzlach. What God wants, that's the Torah, that remains in his hand and he is successful in it. And before we continue, all these verses we just quoted are from a chapter that is not frequently learned in Yeshayah. It is the end of chapter 52 and the beginning of chapter 53. And Yeshayah, the prophet Isaiah, is speaking of the time to come when the Jewish people will be successful. And this is the parsha in the Navi that begins with the verse, Hine Yaskil Avdi, behold, my servant will be successful. And as we read through this parsha, we should recognize, and we're going to explain the parsha in two different ways. There are many understandings in the parasha. One understanding is Rashi. Rashi's understanding is that this whole parasha is a reference to the Jewish people in the time to come. And it's going to be very tempting to attribute this interpretation to the time post-Holocaust. But we have to know that we don't know how to interpret the prophet. So to start saying that's what he meant is difficult, but it's going to be tempting to do so. And the other understanding is the Ramban. The Ramban composed a separate work defining this parasha that we're going to learn now. And the Ramban says this is all a reference to the Mashiach. And the Navi begins in Yeshaya Nun Beis Pasuk Yud Gimel, the 52nd chapter, the 13th verse. Hine yaskil avdi. Behold, the time will come.
Which chapter?
52. Nun Bet. The very end, the last three verses. Hine yaskil avdi. Behold, my servant will be successful. Yarum, he will be exalted. Vinisa, he will be lifted. Vigava me'od, he will be very high. Kasher shamimu alecha rabim. Just as multitudes have looked at you with wonderment in the past, and they've said about these people, "Ken mishchat mi ish mareyu." They don't even look human. These people are subhuman. That's the way they've been looked at. V'toaromi b'nei adam, and their countenance is not one of mankind. Ken, by the same token, yazegoyim rabim, alav yikpetzu malachim pihem. Many nations will turn to you, and the kings will have to shut their mouths. Ki asher lo supar lahem ra'u, for things that have never been told before about any nation, they'll see happening to you. Da asher lo shamu, and things that they've never heard of, things that are unheard of, hitmonanu, they will note are taking place with you. And we're beginning the 53rd chapter. Mihe min nishmoatenu, the nations looking upon Israel or looking upon the Mashiach. The Ramban learns this is all talking about the Mashiach. Chazal tells us that when the Mashiach will initially come, he's going to try going from nation to nation, and no one will look at him, and everyone will scoff at him, and he'll be afflicted with afflictions, and he's going to look subhuman. The afflictions will cause him to look like a deranged person. The nations will all laugh at him and mock him. And finally, when he is successful, then they're going to say what we're saying now. So this can either be understood about the individual, the Mashiach, or the Jewish people as a whole. Mihe min nishmoatenu, the nations will say. Who would have believed what we're hearing? Uzwa Hashem al minigrata, and who has had the good fortune that God's arm has appeared upon them? Vayal kayonek lefanav, and he sprouted forth like a young sapling. V'chashoresh me'eretz tziyah, and like a root that grew from dry land. Lo tor lo v'lo hadar. Previously he hadn't had any special airs about him. He hadn't had any special significance to the way he looked. V'nir'ehu v'lo mareh. And when we looked at him, he didn't look unusual. V'nechmedehu. And would we have thought to seek out contact with such a person, with these people? Nivzeh v'chadal ishim. They were the people that were mocked. They were the people that had no people of importance among them. They were worthless. Ish machovot. They were the people who were afflicted. V'idu acholi. And they were frequented with illnesses. Uchmaster panim imenu. And when they'd walk down the street, they'd hide their face in shame from us. Nivze, they were mocked. Velo chashavnu, and we didn't value them. Achen, now let's remember, when was this prophecy said? This is a prophecy that is more than 2,000 years old. This is a prophecy from the time of the first temple. The Jews still have their kingdom. The Jews have not yet had the destruction of the first temple. They haven't been exiled from the land of Israel. And the Navi Yeshaya is speaking in prophecy about a time when the Jews will have suffered centuries of desecration, centuries of nations looking down at them and saying, "What are you worth?" Where they can't look the nations in the eye and they hide their face in shame. Says the Navi, Nivzeh, they were mocked. Lo chashavnu, we didn't value them. Achen. And here are the verses that ordinarily Jews think are a Christian concept, but they're rooted in the Navi. Achen, says the Navi, but cholayenu hunasa, he suffered our illnesses. Umachoveinu, and our hurtings, sivalam, he took. He carried the weight. Va'anachnu chashavnuhu, we thought all along, nagua, He's been blasphemed by God. He's a leper. Mukei Elohim umune. Must be that God wants to afflict him. So when the nations looked at the Jews suffering, they said, must be God chooses to kill this nation, to hurt this nation. But really, they were suffering our afflictions. Now, Rashi presents this in a way that's more amenable. Rashi presents this that they were suffering our afflictions, we afflicted them. But not that God decreed that they should suffer on our behalf so it should be good for us. The Ramban says no. The Jews suffered so that it would be good for the world. The Jews suffered for the sins of others. Achen cholayenu hu nasa. He suffered our illnesses. Vehu mecholal mipesheinu. He has been afflicted because of our ill doings. So Rashi says, this is a reference to tzaddikim, that within the Jewish people you had people who didn't deserve the suffering. You had the people who sinned and they caused the destruction of the temple, they caused the exile, they caused that the temple wouldn't be rebuilt, etc. But you have people, they don't deserve to be in exile. They don't deserve to be in the state the Jews had been in throughout the years. And they suffered for their brethren, the other Jews, meduka me'avonotenu. They were afflicted from our own sins, which literally the other nations are saying about the Jews. Musar shelomenu alav uvachavurato nirpa lanu. In essence, we had peace because he suffered. Kulanu katzon ta'inu ish lidarko paninu. We all strayed like sheep. We all went our own ways. V'Hashem yifgia bo et avon kulanu. And God afflicted him with all of our sins. Nigas v'hu na'ane v'lo yiftach piv. Although they oppressed him, he raised his head but wouldn't open his mouth. And here we have a verse which is often quoted in shame, but the Navi quotes it in praise. Kasela tevach yuval, just as a sheep is brought to slaughter, ucherachelif negozezea neelama, and just as a young lamb is silent next to those who shear her, velo yiftach piv, and he, the Jewish people, do not open their mouth against the Creator, although they are suffering. He was taken out of justice. He wasn't given justice. Who could talk of that generation? They were cut off from the land of life. They were cut off from their homeland, the land of Israel, from the sins of their nation. They were buried with the wicked. They didn't have a choice. They did nothing wrong to deserve to be afflicted this way. And here we have the verses that our Gemara quoted. V'Hashem chafetz, but God has chosen. Dake'o, he oppressed him. He depressed him. Hecheli, he caused him to be ill. And God said, Im tasim Hashem nafsho, if you take these difficult times and accept them willfully, Yirezera, you will ultimately see offspring. Ya'arich yamim, you'll live a long life. V'chefetz Hashem bi'ado yitzrach, and God will give you success in what He seeks, the Torah, and you'll be successful. It will remain with you. Ma'amal nafsho yirei yisba, from the toil of his soul, he will see. He will be satiated. B'dato yatzdik tzadik avdi l'rabim, and ultimately he will be vindicated publicly, va'avonotav u'yisbol, etc. So these verses, like our Gemara, are troublesome. So the good suffers. That's what our Gemara seems to say. That's what these verses seem to say. When I closed the Gemara and walked out of Beis Medrash, I came home. And I met my father. May live and be well. And my father said, what's doing? Why are you so upset? So I said, I learned the Gemara that I don't know what to do with. And I told my father the Gemara, and my father started laughing. So I said, what's so funny? My father said, this Gemara has to be viewed the exact opposite from the way you're viewing it. There are difficult things in life. Sometimes people try their best and they find life wrought with difficulty, with pain, with sorrow, with disappointment. And the beginning of the Gemara says, let's use these opportunities, let's use these times of difficulty to grow, to introspect, to find where we can be better people, and let's attribute these things to what we've done wrong, as the Torah tells us. When we do wrong, so we'll grow. But there comes a point, or there can come a point, where a person says, I've done my best. I'm really doing my best. And things are still difficult. And here the Gemara gives the person an opening to stop blaming himself. The Gemara is saying there can be a point where you've really done your best. God doesn't expect better of you. And if times are difficult, well then you'll merit more in the world to come. You don't have to spend your whole life thinking, well, I can't find anything else I did wrong, so what's going on? No. There is a point at which the Gemara says, this is for your benefit. And now we're going to explore a few understandings as to how does this work. One understanding also takes me back to my youth. We'd sometimes be climbing down the steps or up the steps, and we'd get hit by my father. Not beaten, but hit. We'd turn around and say, what did I do wrong? And my father would say, you think I'm stupid? I'm going to wait for you to do something wrong? That's an advance. So, okay, it was a joke. We weren't hit seriously. That's one understanding in this Gemara. That when a person sometimes, he's doing good, so our sages tell us that when things go well for a person, it's hard for him to advance. We grow out of difficulty. When things are good, so our prayer is parv. Everything we do is parv. When things start getting difficult, then we look inside and say, wait a second, I got to get better. Let me think. Let me work. Let me analyze. When a person, everything's going well, his prayer is, it takes 1 minute, it takes 2 minutes, he runs through it, he focuses on a word here, a word there. When a person, God forbid, needs something, then he focuses. I merited to be in the hospital, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, this past year. When I told the rabbi that I was there, he asked me, how are you doing? I said, I have no idea how I'm doing. I don't have a second to breathe. I'm in the hospital running from the kids to the hospital to the kids to the hospital. So he said to me, boy, those are the best Rosh Hashanahs. That's the best Yom Kippur. And I didn't understand until I stood there. And there are people all around me praying Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I've got to tell you, I've been in big yeshivas and all kinds of places. But the tears of a person who's on chemo standing next to you on Yom Kippur are a little different than the tears of a guy in yeshiva. As much as I respect the tears of a guy in yeshiva, there's nothing like feeling the guillotine over your neck to cause you to actually pray better. I would share with you a story, but we don't have that much time. I want to finish at least the first portion of this Gemara. So that's one understanding in this Gemara. That the verse says, "Va'avoshicharom musar," that even though a person hasn't yet sinned, Hashem gives him the ability to grow, to contend with difficulties, because we grow out of difficulties, as we will discuss at greater length later tonight in our Binyan HaBayit class again. Another understanding is something we should be familiar with from Avraham Avinu, that when a person is pious and when a person is a righteous person, Hashem tzaddik yivchan. Hashem gives tests to tzaddikim. If this world were all about when I do the right thing, good things happen to me, then there would be no difficulty in believing that God's running the show. The difficulties in belief is that God runs the world in a way that we don't see tzaddik v'tovlo. We see the righteous and things are difficult for them. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, he's standing at Sinai. He's getting the luchos. He's standing there and he's wondering, God, I see you love the Jewish people, so reveal me one thing I don't understand how you run the world. I just want to understand, why is it tzaddik v'ra lo rasha v'tovlo? Why is it that we see righteous people have it hard sometimes and wicked people have it good sometimes? And God says, no. That you're not going to get to understand. That's the challenge of this world. If the world wasn't this way, then everyone could be a pious person. It's very easy. If I do something wrong, the next morning I know I won't make a living, or I won't find bread to feed my family. Then yeah, it's very easy to be a good person. The difficulties in this world is that we don't see God's hand directly before us. Another understanding that's given is when people see a pious person and he's suffering, they learn from him. But there's another understanding, which I think...
So when things go well, I should worry.
Yes. Yes, the Gemara says, that's at the end of Brachos, that David HaMelech never in his life had a good dream. Every morning he'd wake up in a sweat from a nightmare. Saying, not only, okay. Life too, right? We should be thankful. A person can't forget to be appreciative when things go well. But a person also has to think, wait a second, if things are going well, I wonder. I was telling a rabbi what's been happening the last 3 months, and he said, you know, life is so filled with those things that you just forget them. I was saying, what? And he started giving me examples of things that happened in his life, and it was like one a month, one every 2-3 months. And I was thinking, okay, yeah, on his level, I guess that's how God runs his life. And he's smiling as he's telling me. He says, they just fall into the backdrop. You'll see, you don't think about them. That's just part of life. But there's another understanding here. Chazal offer us quite a few interpretations of how Hashgacha Pratit works. We're accustomed to thinking, you know, the Gemara says, there's no blade of grass that grows without a corresponding angel that focuses on that blade of grass and tells it grow. So we're accustomed to thinking, according to that opinion of Hashgacha, that every time I step, God's looking at that footstep, and everything I do, God's watching what I do, and that is one understanding in the Gemara. But there's another Gemara. The Gemara says that there was one Amora who was suffering terribly, Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas. Things were going very bad in his life. And at one point, he fell asleep, and God appeared to him. Now, we're skipping details of the story. We'll learn it, Bezat Shem, in depth a different time. And there's a discussion between them. And Rabbi Lazar says, things are very, very difficult, God. And God says, look, this is the way the constellations are set up. I know we have to discuss constellations up front. We'll get to that. God tells him, when the world was created, so I set up all kinds of things that affect how the world will run. And there's a certain course that nature has to take. And the way everything is set up, you have to be a poor man. You have to suffer the way you're suffering. Do you want, Rabbi Lazar? I'll start the world from scratch. You want? We'll destroy everything. We'll start from scratch. And we'll see how you fall. Russian roulette, right? God says, we'll see where you're born. And maybe things will be better. You could start life from scratch. We'll start the world from scratch. And maybe things will be better. So Rabbi Lazar, then Pedas turns to God and he says, maybe? And he says, tell me, have I lived out more of my life or do I have more left to live? Things must have been pretty bad. So God says, no, you've lived out more than you have left to live. So he says, okay, I'll suffer the rest out. If I've gone through the majority, then I'll manage the rest. So what does that mean? God's telling him there's a course of nature, and according to the course of nature, this is the way your life's going to look. How do we reconcile that with Hashgacha Pratit? We're accustomed to thinking of Avraham Avinu, where God tells him, you're a Jew. You're above the constellations. You're above the laws of nation, the laws of nature. We're accustomed to the name Yisrael we're going to encounter in next week's parsha. Yaakov can overcome an angel, and God gives him the name Yisrael, which means you will be able to overcome all forces in the world. You are above that. That's what we're accustomed to thinking. And here we find that a great, great rabbi, God appears to him in a dream. God tells him, this is the way the world is set up. And according to the way the world is set up, this is the way your life is going to be. And this is the way it's going to be till you die. God isn't promising him it'll get better. So we find that there is an element of nature. there is a person that's born with a higher IQ and a lower IQ. A person who has more mazal and less mazal. A person that's born stronger and weaker. A person that's born to a wealthy family. A person that's born to a poor family. A person that's born and he's born to a place and situations where he can make a lot of money. And a person that's born in the Mitzahara and he's never gotten an education, and by the time he's 35, he's in the middle of Africa. He discovers that there exist telephones. We are governed by laws of nature. And God says, sometimes I will interfere. That's the exception. And you know what? If God interferes on our behalf, then we lose a lot in the world to come. So this understanding says that when God sees a tzaddik in affliction, laws of nature can cause a person to be in affliction. And then God says, I want to take him out of that. But if I do that, you know what it means for me to do Kriyas Yamsa for a person? If I have to change the way the world works for one person, then he's going to lose a lot of merits. So that he will not lose those merits, so that he will have the things in the world to come, I won't interfere. When my little boy was learning how to walk, so part of learning how to walk, a child falls. And if you live in Israel, then you know that here we're all one big happy family. And when you walk out with a child, so everyone tries to help you in how to bring up that child. One person will tell you, it's cold, why didn't you put a sweater on your child? You say, oh, it's a good idea, I have a sweater right here. You put the sweater on, you walk 5 footsteps, and another person will stop you and tell you, don't you see your kid is sweating in the sun? How could you make the poor kid sweat like that? And you stop and you think. And this is the way life is in Israel. You walk with children, you get tips from thousands of people. So he's learning how to walk. No, you got to be appreciative. So he's learning how to walk, and part of learning how to walk is he falls, and he falls again, and he falls again, and he falls again. That's part of how a child learns how to walk. You want to protect him from falling? Well, it's going to take him much more time to learn how to walk. So people start looking at me. Don't you see he's falling? Yeah, I do. So why don't you stop him from falling? Because he's got to learn how to walk. As a parent, it's much easier to interfere and stop the kid from falling, but are you helping him or hurting him? Very often as parents, it's easier to interfere, and we know how to make it work and make it easier for the kid. But that's not what's good for him. What's good for the child is to contend with things. My daughter was trying to fit something into a box, and out of frustration, she started crying and looked at me. And I said, it's hard, I don't know, show me how. So she tried again, and then she got it in. So it would have been easier for me, she's crying. It also hurts me when she's crying, to take it and fit it in. But it's better for her to contend with it. That's a microcosm of what's happening when a tzaddik is suffering in this world. This understanding says, when a tzaddik is suffering, God is like that parent. He says, let me interfere. And then God says, wait a second. The way I created the world, if I interfere, he loses. So let him contend, let him grow, and things will be better for him in the long run. We offered 4 or 5 understandings in this Gemara. There are still more. If you're not satisfied with these, I thought we'd get through more. But we're out of time. It's time for Arvit. Yeah, David.
What about so the king would take
Oh, that's another understanding here. We didn't get to that yet. That was Nachum Ish Gamzu.